Please open your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Romans, as we will read from Romans chapter 8, the verses 18 through 39. Romans 8, beginning at verse 18 up to verse 39. You can find it in your pew Bible, page 1301. Hear then God's holy and inspired word, beginning at Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is God, Christ, who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the reading of this portion of God's Word. We will now also turn to our text words. The first one is 2 Timothy 2, the verses 11 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, the verses 11 through 13. as you find it on page 1367. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then we turn to the next chapter, chapter 3 and verse 12, our final text. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So far then, God's holy word and the words of our text. In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 422, stanza 6. 422, stanza 6, in response to the word of God as it is to be proclaimed. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how often have you thought about persecution or martyrdom? I suspect, as it is with most of us, including myself, it does not enter our thoughts all that often. We may give it a fleeting thought when the subject arises in the news, but other than that, we're busy with the family, we're busy with our work, with our schooling, and we therefore probably don't give it all that much thought. This morning hour, I want to place it right in the center of all our thinking, congregation, by way of the text that we have before us. Then I also want to remind you that there is a fascinating book that can be found in many of the church libraries, and perhaps it is also in this library here, written by Faith Cook. And the little book is called Singing in the Fire. And it has to do with what it means to suffer persecution, but to suffer through it in a healthy way, even being able to sing to the praises of the Lord our God. And so I want to recommend that particular reading to you this morning. This hour, I want to consider with you, therefore, a faithful saying that we have in our first text in 2 Timothy 2. It is a faithful saying, and it is constructed in a way that is often sung by God's people in times of old. And so it is not only a faithful saying, but it is also a song. And it is a song that is sung in persecution. And so let us then consider this particular text and also what we have read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Christ gives a song in persecution. I want to consider it in three ways. First, it is a song of suffering. Secondly, it is a song of admonition. And thirdly, it is a song of hope. So Christ gives a song in persecution, a song of suffering, a song of admonition, and a song of hope. Now, congregation, when the Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he was a prisoner in Rome. And he was awaiting, well, execution, I suppose, if not persecution even further. He knew that he would not live much longer, and the end of his suffering was in sight. In chapter 4 and verse 6, he writes, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Soon Paul would be called up out of his dungeon to make his death march to the Roman arena, from where never a Christian has returned alive. Paul could say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And no doubt, when he said that, he also would have said, thanks be to God that I could do so. And then at the same time, Christ gave him this song during the time of persecution already, a song that we have. And that is, if we died with him, that is with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And with these words then, dear people, Paul begins this song of persecution. And Paul, he is a realist about persecution. Because this is what every Christian will meet up with sooner or later. He tells us, for instance, already in chapter 2 and chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not just a maybe, but a yes, you will suffer persecution. And Timothy, to whom he was writing, Timothy has to know this, and he needs to be equipped, and he needs to be prepared for this. Now let us put it into today's perspective for a moment. Isn't it true that for many, many years, you and I have lived a very sheltered life? Persecution, well, we have heard about that in happening in some countries far away. Persecution, at times we will pray for that in the church as well, for our persecuted brothers and sisters. But generally speaking, if we're honest, it does not weigh all that heavily with us, does it? Perhaps we have convinced ourselves that it will never come to us. It will never happen with us. However, God's Word reminds us, doesn't it? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so the question is, do you desire to live a godly life? Do you truly want to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to confess Him as your Savior? Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people, have you learned already what it means to follow this great Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, then I must say that you should also count on that you will suffer persecution in some way and at some time and in some degree. Today, the reality of persecution, it is looming larger than what it ever has done before. Statistics tell us that persecution has never been as widespread and in so many places in this world today. About 3 weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in Israel, and I was also taken into the West Bank. And no doubt you know what the West Bank is all about. That's where the Palestinians are. That is where Hamas rules. I had the privilege of being there in order to speak to some Palestinian Christians. And they told me that they are the forgotten Christians in this world. Forgotten by and large by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of prayer, but forgotten also by Israel, and forgotten basically by everyone. They are being persecuted by the Palestinians, who are their brethren, and, sad to say, Israel does not have much to say for them either yet. And so I had the privilege of being there in order to speak with some diplomats to bring the Palestinian Christians and the Messianic Christians of Israel together so that they could speak to one another. But again, persecution is very strong also in that area. God's Word therefore does remind us that all who desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. And of course, we know that the growing threat of Islam and the horrific cruelty of ISIS, we are not sure how things will go in the Middle East, but it could come to our shores as well, sooner or later. And so then again, it will be a fulfillment of Paul's prophecy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And therefore, as one saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be necessary, dear people, and this is really why I am busy proclaiming this message, it will be necessary for you and me to learn this particular song, that is, this song of our text. It is, as I must stress this first and foremost, it is a song of suffering. And notice how Paul begins this particular song. If we died with him, if we endure. The implication here is, dear people, that there is some sort of suffering involved in this. If we endure, it could also be translated as it is in the King James. It could also be translated as if we suffer. And those ifs are not maybes, or like maybe it'll hit us or maybe not. No, these ifs here in our text are the reality of the Christian life. As a Christian, you will suffer persecution, and you must therefore be well versed in this song which we have as our text. Well, what does it mean then to say that when we have died in Christ or died with Christ, what does that mean? Well, it is often translated as a reference to our union in and with Christ, and that our sins, therefore, have been nailed on the cross of Calvary. And that is true enough, but there is more to it. And hear me out carefully. In a real sense, it means being marked for death by the enemies of God. And this is, of course, is what is happening in some of the extreme parts of the Islamic world. Christians are actually marked for death, as what is happening, for instance, in Iraq and in Syria and in some of the other places in this world as well. And at the first opportune time, such marked Christians will then meet their fate. The men are put to death, and the women and the girls are turned into slaves, often sex slaves. And dear people, I'm asking you, are you holding these brothers and sisters up in your prayers? Are you praying for them daily? They, as Paul says it elsewhere, they stand in jeopardy every hour. And with Paul, they can say, for your sakes, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. They are the souls, you see, which the Apostle John saw in a vision while he was on the island of Patmos. The souls of those who had been beheaded, literally so. The souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God. And again, are we praying for these people who are threatened with this kind of execution? And yes, there are people presently in other continents, and it seems to be so far away from us. But dear people, does the Bible not teach us that when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers? Do we feel something of their suffering, dear people? Do we weep with them as they are weeping? You will understand that the message that I'm declaring this hour has been prompted by my visit And I certainly do want to ask you as well that you would pray for the forgotten Christians, that is, the Palestinian Christians. Yes, Messianic Jews as well, but also the Palestinian Christians. Now, such persecution has not come to our shores yet. Although the fate has reached some individual Christians who come from our shores. And we have some examples of that too. And I think of, I believe it was about a year and a half ago, James Foley, an American journalist, who was executed by ISIS. And then I investigated that just a little bit more. And in a letter that he wrote to his parents, he says, "I pray for you that you will stay strong and that you, my dear parents, will continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that you are thinking of me, my dear parents. I know that you are praying for me." And according to his parents, James Foley was a Christian. And I believe it because the very last picture of him showed a very calm look on his face while his executioner stood behind him with a knife in hand. But as I am speaking, dear people, such persecution has not come full force to our shores yet. And we can be thankful to the Lord God for that. And dear people, it is not because of our greatness. It is not because of our wisdom. It is not because of our strength. And certainly it has not been because of the strength of our country's Christianity. It has not been because of the strength of our country's morality that has kept persecution away from us. It is only by the grace of God, you see, that up till now we have seen very little of it. But be aware, congregation, the danger is real. So far it is still distant in our mind. So far it is rather mild yet if we do suffer any persecution. But real, live persecution-style suffering could also become your and my lot sooner or later. Do not close your eyes to it. Do not remain ignorant of it. Because Jesus Christ Himself has said that it will overtake us as a thief in the night. But now, in a real spiritual sense, we, you and I, we are already marked for death. And that by the devil himself. As Christians, you see, you must know that you are on the devil's death list at this very moment. Now, let me just give you an example. As I mentioned earlier already, ISIS is in the habit of capturing a village. And as it enters into a village, it puts a red circle on the houses of Christians. And in that red circle, they put the Arabic letter of N in the middle of it. You know what the N stands for? One of the Nazarenes. And this is the mark of death, you see, for Christians in ISIS-controlled territories. Well, now, similarly, in the eyes of the devil, Christians are marked with the Nazarene, with the Christ Jesus of Nazareth. A Christian is so marked, you see, as a target for the devil and for his demonic agents. He wants Christians silenced. He wants to be rid of them. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are on the hit list of the devil. Although he cannot undo your salvation, He will do His very best to make you a despised person in the eyes of the world. And isn't that what is happening already even in our country? He is doing His best to make you look like you are an intolerant person, that you are phobic about other people, and that He will make it possible to render you inactive, to render you unserviceable in the kingdom of God. That is what the devil is after. And how has the Lord Jesus Christ not experienced this persecuting attacks from His enemies? As you know, He too was on the death list. He too was on the hit list, even from the very moment that He was born. King Herod, so we can read in Matthew chapter 2, sought the young child in order to destroy Him. Persecuted already as a little child. From that moment on, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was always in danger. Physical attacks increased until at last the Jews and the Romans got together. And they had Him hanging on the cross of Golgotha, dying a death reserved only for the worst of criminals. But these spiritual attacks, dear people, went parallel with the physical attacks. How often did the devil not try to get Jesus to stumble and to fall and to drop His God-sent mission of saving sinners? The devil, in the most real sense of the word, wanted Jesus dead. But now Christians can sing of it. And the first part, yes, it is a song of suffering. If we died with Him, if we endure. You see, being dead with Christ and suffering, they go together. They fit together as hand in glove. If we are marked for death with Jesus Christ, dear people, we must count on some suffering as well. Now, what does Paul mean here with suffering? Well, this has to do, of course, with Christians in persecution. And Paul says, if we died with Him, if we endure. And this word endure, as I mentioned already in the King James, states it suffer, which means to bear patiently, to bear it perseveringly. And that is really what the word endure means. And this is the sort of suffering, and I want to combine the word suffering and enduring together. This is what you and I need to train ourselves in. This is not only in preparation for persecution, dear people. When there is imprisonment, or when there is torture, or when there is death staring us in the face. But this is also part and should be part of our training when the devil has it in for us, for you and for me, in his subtle and sometimes not so subtle ways and attacks. By a nation and by a society who are growing in being phobic about Christians, and a society that is growing more and more anti-Christian. We must then also suffer. No, we must then also endure. We must then also bear it patiently, and we must persevere. And so Christ gives us this song in persecution. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. So that takes me to my second consideration. This song is also a song of admonition. Listen to what follows. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. One of the greatest dangers in any type of persecution, dear people, is something that when we endure any type of suffering, the temptation is there to deny Jesus Christ and to begin acting faithless. It is one of the greatest temptations that the devil comes with towards us. Deny Jesus Christ and you will escape ISIS. That's what's being used right now. Deny your Christianity. Embrace Islam, or you'll be executed. Now, this is how it was already in the early days of the Christian church, dear people. I think the boys and girls will know the story of Polycarp. He was an 86-year-old Christian church leader and preacher in the city of Smyrna. One day, the Romans arrested him and dragged him into the arena in order to be executed, with a large crowd witnessing it. The devil came up with a temptation as the Roman governor still addressed Polycarp and said to him, "Polycarp, curse Christ and I will let you go." Thankfully, Polycarp did not take the bait. But he looked the Roman governor straight in the eyes and he declared for all people to hear it, 86 years I have served him and he has never done me any wrong. How can I curse my king and my savior who saved me?" Consequently, Polycarp was executed. But as the fires were kindled around him, he praised Jesus Christ, yet, "I bless you because you have deemed me worthy to take my part in the number of the martyrs. For this and for everything, I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you." And with these words on his lips, he died. This, you see, boys and girls, was a Christian singing in the fire. Polycarp refused to deny Jesus Christ. Now, our text is therefore an admonition not to deny Jesus Christ, not to turn your back to him, not to curse him ever, not to give any reason at all for him to threaten you. Because if you would deny him, if you would curse him, your state will be worse than if you had been executed by ISIS or one of the enemies of God. And why do I say this? Because then Christ will deny you. And unless you repent before you die, Christ will have to bar you from entrance into heaven, and he would have to say to you, "I never knew you. Depart from me." To be sure, this then is an admonition to any who have not yet sincerely confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of an insincere confession, are tempted to deny him under the pressure of persecution. Take these words to heart, which Christ said. But now, our text is also an admonition that comes to us who have once sincerely confessed Jesus Christ as the Savior, as their Savior. Do you remember that time yet? Dear brother and sister in the Lord, you could once speak so eloquently about his saving work that he has done in your heart and in your life. You could speak of it in a measure of excitement in your voice even. You could once speak of how precious and how loving the Lord Jesus Christ is, and you would want to share it with all those who heard you. Perhaps you were once on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is such a rich Christ for me, the poor sinner. But somewhere along the line, your testimony of Jesus Christ has begun to fall silent. You seem to have lost your first love, your zeal for the Lord and for His house seem to have fizzled out. What has happened? What has happened? Surely physical, violent persecution, as we hear of it in other places, and I've described it to you, could not have done that silencing in you. You may still enjoy a good amount of religious freedom. You are not yet on the death list of ISIS. So why have you fallen silent? Is it perhaps because there has been spiritual persecution that has laid you low? Have you perhaps become aware that you are on the devil's hit list and that he has dealt you some blows that you have not been able to handle very well? Perhaps he has allowed or given you to fall into one or the other temptation, and you have not been able to stand up to this or that temptation as the devil came to you with it? Has your fall perhaps made you a victim of the devil, and since then, your witness of Jesus Christ has fallen silent in your life? Must you now perhaps lament with David of old, "While I kept guilty silence, my strength is spent with grief. Thy hand, O God, Thy hand is heavy on me, on my soul. I can find no relief." Now, dear one, if this happens to be your plight, confess your fall into sin, and you will find, as David did, that the Lord will graciously forgive. Do not let sin unconfessed turn you into a silenced, grieving Christian. Find the joy of your salvation in the forgiveness of your sins that is so wonderfully applied to you through the sacrifice of Christ and the Spirit. Find the joy of your salvation in the Savior who has died for you. Remember that if you are dead in Christ, which means at the same time having a living connection with Christ, you must also be dead with Christ to the pleasures of sin. When you now see the devil coming at you with one or the other temptation, and when you sense that there is a drawing power into that temptation, fall on your knees and confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord God, help me." And He is there to help you. Because these temptations, you see, we cannot handle on our own strength. And then we will also be able to say, with Joseph of old, who was once tempted as well, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" But if the devil cannot get you to fall for this or that temptation, and so turn you into a silenced Christian, he will persecute you in some other way, and he will still try to make you an unprofitable Christian. He might be able to do this by discouraging you, by making you disappointed with other Christians, people around you. He might be able to do other things to you that will turn you into a silenced Christian. You begin to see the faults of other Christians. You begin to see the shortcomings of your elders, your deacons, or your pastors. And it will begin to bother you so much that you, as it were, crawl back into your shell. The devil got his way, And he's made you into a silenced Christian as well, if that happens. But again, dear people, you must not be overcome by that kind of persecution either. Don't go into hiding, but endure. Don't deny Christ your gift of witness. Learn to bear patiently with the faults and the shortcomings of other Christians, whoever they may be, and be steadfast in enduring in the Christian witness and Christian life. Because, you see, enduring will train you not to deny Christ when persecution becomes physical for you. Our text, Song of Persecution, encourages you to endure, therefore, to face down temptations, to stay the course of your witness of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember, he was not only persecuted by those who hated him, but he was also let down at times by those who pledged their allegiance to him. And so, trust in God's promises. As it is recorded for us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, God makes it possible for you to sing in persecution. But then there's one more thing that we need to consider from our text as a song of persecution. It is a song of hope. A song of hope. And listen again to our text. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so you who have died with Christ, you who are now through his sacrifice and through his death in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters, you may have that sure hope as well that you shall live with him and you shall one day reign with him. You see, persecuted Christians of former days, they often sang as they were taken into the Roman arena. They sang, you see, because they knew they were about to live. They were about to reign with Christ, their Savior. And so they began singing already before they even were executed. Persecuted Christians in former days often stood at the gravesite of a fellow Christian. But they could sing a song nevertheless, because he or she has gone to be with Christ and reigns in eternal glory presently. And so this is the hope, dear people. This is also the perspective that we as Christians may have today. The persecution of Christians, it will someday come to an end. And those who have persecuted them, that is, persecuted the Christians, and I also include the ISIS regime, will meet their fate as they will have to face Almighty God on the day of judgment. And unless they repent of their dreadful, wicked ways, God will deal with them in fearful righteousness. As Christ has said and is recorded for us in Matthew 24:51, that he will cut them in two and send them to a place of weeping and of gnashing of teeth. And therefore, dear people, be sure that you have died with Christ. Be sure that you are now in fellowship with him. Place your full trust, place your full confidence and faith in him, who is faithful, who will never deny himself. That is, he is true to his word. And he is true to his attachment to you. Go on, therefore, and endure. Train yourself in the song that Christ has given us here in our text. We know that the world faces a very uncertain future. But we who believe in Jesus Christ, we have a sure and a settled future. One day we shall live with Him. One day we shall reign with Him. The hit list and the death list of the devil and of his agents will then be ripped up in small pieces. And we will have something more to sing about. And that takes us then to Romans 8 again, as we want to close this message. And you can read it with me. Romans 8, to verses 35 through 39. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, or nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Return out to your homes and receive the blessings of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all. Amen.